calls for an investigation into what happened regarding enhanced interrogation techniques with the Bush administration have only grown louder in recent weeks, with Republicans also calling for an investigation into what House Speaker Nancy Pelosi knew about such techniques as well. Philip Gorevich is the author of We Wish to Inform You That Tomorrow We Will Be Killed with Our Families, a look at the 1994 Rwandan genocide, and now The Ballad of Abu Ghraib, along with Errol Morse, now out in paperback. We asked Gorevich earlier this week if he believes there should be an investigation about what happened that led in part to the abuses of detainees at Abu Ghraib.
I think that that could be very, very useful. I think that what's going to be very problematic is to the extent that, anybody raises a question of prosecution. Because as we've seen with these low-level soldiers I wrote about at Abu Ghraib, the people who took and appeared in the photographs, they were scapegoated. And I think that anybody but the real authors of this policy would be scapegoating. Even the guys who wrote these torture memos, who it's awful to see them practicing on federal benches and teaching in law schools when they wrote such terrible legal advice, and basically illegal legal advice. But they did so at the behest of their bosses, the administration leaders. And those kinds of trials can be very, 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 very time-consuming and energy-consuming and totally drag the country backwards. I think the country can't fully move forward in the way that Obama wants us to until we do have an airing of this. And why not a 9/11 commission-type report, a congressional set of hearings like we had with the church hearings? You know, we're not in the kinds of situations people invoke when they look at South Africa and say Truth Commission. Truth Commission was a revolution, a regime, an entire system of government had been overthrown, delegitimized, criminalized, and you gave amnesty for people for telling people what had happened in the past. That was a political compromise. Here, we had an election. That's what changed the administration. And now we have a president who wants to change our policies and get the country to understand what happened so it won't happen again. I think that we need to know, and we need to know what the Democrats' involvement was in Congress and all along as well.
We're speaking with Philip Gorevich. He's the author of The Ballad of Abu Ghraib, now out in paperback. This was originally published last year along with Errol Morris as a standard operating procedure. And there's actually a section in the book in which Joseph Darby, who was somewhat of a hero of sorts at the whole Abu Ghraib thing, he was one of the original whistleblowers there. You have a part in the book where he recalls Charles Grainer, one of the bad guys, if you will, in terms of what happened to the detainees. Charles Grainer showing him a photo of a detainee who's naked and who Grainer said he made basically urinate on himself. And Joseph Darby said he really didn't think much of it because it was, quote, standard procedure. And that passage alone really seemed to bring to me what was going on there, where even, you know, good people like Joseph Darby weren't even affected by things like he just saw from Charles Grainer there.
Yeah, I mean, this is, in other words, Joseph Darby's story, as I tell in the book, doesn't really add up. He became a hero and went on 60 Minutes and got some awards for being a whistleblower. But he knew about all of this for a long, long time. And he was shown that photograph by Grainer by the end of October 2003. He didn't, quote-unquote, blow the whistle until mid-January. During the intervening months, 3 months, 2 to 3 months, 90% of the really harsh abuse that was taking place at that prison was taking place. And it was taking place by the same people. Under the same policies. And, you know, later Joe Darby would say he was a big, big proponent of the idea that it was really just the bad apples, that it was just these bad guys on the night shift. He had a personal bone to pick with Charles Grainer and a couple of the other people there, and he really focused it that way and kept denying that it was policy, even though he himself, when he saw a picture 6 weeks earlier, shrugged it off as policy. So you see a kind of internalization, and this is one of the things that I really tried to explore as I was looking at the voices of these soldiers, how the soldiers who were there dealt with what they were being asked to do, dealt with a situation in a hellish prison where these policies were being enacted. How did they rationalize it, come to terms with it? Because I think a lot of what we're really saying when we say the bad apples, when we say it's rogue individuals, is we're saying they couldn't be us. They couldn't stand for us. They couldn't be doing this in the name of our, you know, liberty and our security. And in fact, that's what soldiers do, is they do what they're told. And the kind of complicated spot in which we put our soldiers, when we look at those photographs, we shouldn't just ask, why are they doing this to our prisoners? We should ask, why are we doing this to our soldiers?